You can't fully appreciate this unless you understand that the word fish was the word used for little pickled fish, like a sardine, not a great big sea bass or salmon. And barley loaves were the size of large pancakes, flat, hard, and brittle, the bread of poor people. Jesus took these brittle loaves and tiny fish in his hands and pulled off the impossible. The multitudes were sitting along the slopes of the mountain, and those disciples were busy passing out the foods to dozens, then hundreds, then thousands. Remember Philip, who was figuring in minimums? John 6:11 concludes, "As much as they wanted." You can just picture some old fella who had not eaten for a long time. "Hey, Philip, a little more bread over here." So Philip brings the bread. All they wanted. And they were filled. Verse 12. That's just like the Lord. Not only does he do the impossible, he does abundantly beyond all anyone could ask or think. He gave to those people until they had plenty. He performed his specialty. He did the impossible. The river was crossed. The mountain was tunneled. The impossible was accomplished. And to him, it was as nothing. You'll notice that when the people were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." Verse 12. They gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves. How many disciples? 12. How many baskets? 12. Can't you picture Philip? He's way down the hill, his basket full, and all the way back up the hill he is saying, "I can't believe it." It was more than they could ever use. Andrew, the little thinker, must have been stunned. Releasing our grip. You know the lesson I think the disciples learned, or at least should have learned? When you face an impossibility, leave it in the hands of the specialist. Refuse to calculate. Refuse to doubt. Refuse to work it out by yourself. Refuse to worry or encourage others to worry. Stand against that. Instead, say, "Lord, I'm carrying around something I cannot handle. Because you are not only able, but also willing and anxious, take this off my hands. It's impossible to me, but it is as nothing with you." Persevering through the pressures of impossibilities calls for that kind of confidence. Now, our problem is that we hold on to our problems. If your Swiss watch stops working, you don't sit down at home with a screwdriver and start working on it yourself. You take it to a specialist. What if you do work on that watch and then you take it to a specialist? "Sir, my watch stopped working." "Oh, really? Let me take a look at it. What in the world have you done to this lovely watch?" The problem is that the Lord gets all the leftovers. We make all the mistakes and get things tied into 19 granny knots, then dump it in his lap and say, "Here, Lord." No, right at first say, "It's impossible. I can't handle it, Lord. Before I foul it up, it's yours." He is able to handle it. I've just finished reading an exciting book called Say It With Love by my good friend Dr. Howard Hendricks. You need to read it. In the book, he tells the most marvelous true story. I quote, "We had a lovely couple in Dallas a number of years ago. He sold his business at a loss, went into vocational Christian work, and things got rather tough. There were 4 kids in the family. One night at family worship, Timmy, the youngest boy, said, 'Daddy, do you think Jesus would mind if I asked him for a shirt?' 'Well, no, of course not. Let's write that down in our prayer request book, Mother.' So she wrote down, 'Shirt for Timmy,' and she added, 'Size 7. You can be sure that every day Timmy saw to it that they prayed for the shirt. After several weeks, one Saturday, the mother received a telephone call from a clothier in downtown Dallas, a Christian businessman. 'I finished my July clearance sale, and knowing that you have 4 boys, it occurred to me that you might use something we have left. Could you use some boys' shirts?' She said, 'What size?' 'Size 7. "How many do you have?" she asked hesitantly. He said, 12. "Many of us might have taken the shirts, stuffed them in the bureau drawer, and made some casual comment to the children. Not this wise set of parents. That night, as expected, Timmy said, "Don't forget, Mommy, let's pray for the shirt." Mommy said, "We don't have to pray for the shirt, Timmy." "How come?" "The Lord has answered your prayer."
"He has?"
"Right. So, as previously arranged, Brother Tommy goes out and gets one shirt, brings it in, and puts it down on the table. Little Timmy's eyes are like saucers. Tommy goes out and gets another shirt and brings it in. Out, back, until he piles 12 shirts on the table. And Timmy thinks God is going into the shirt business. But you know, there is a little kid in Dallas today by the name of Timothy who believes there is a God in heaven interested enough in his needs to provide boys with shirts.